Let me say this. I sat and listened to the sister sing a moment ago. The first time I went to Israel was back in the 70s. And what I did was, you don't have to be me, but this is just what I done. I had three boys and a daughter. Well, when I pastored, the Lord led me. That's when you could go to Israel for $999. So I went to Israel, and then I went and borrowed the money to take my children to Israel. So my wife and I have been three times to Israel. The first time you go, you're just totally green. You don't know nothing. You just don't know nothing. You're so excited, you want to soak it all up. Y'all know what I'm, just soak it all up. Well, I seen Calvary, and I seen the Garden Tomb, and I was trying to get all this folk. I was about a lot younger back then. You'll get that by the time you go home. But anyway, in my mind, the Sea of Galilee, it's unfathomable what going to Israel will unfix you for when you see it with your own eyes. So the second time I go, let me tell you what I do. If you had blindfolded me, put a blindfold around my eyes to where I couldn't see, and led me up to the Garden Tomb, I'd have knew that's the place where our Lord lay. Biblically, I would have known it. Look at y'all's faces. I said if they'd have blindfolded me and got up there, I've never experienced nothing like this in my life. Never. All right, I go to the Garden Tomb, and I know enough about biblically, I know that the Bible says they rolled away the stone. Well, when you go and look at the Garden Tomb, anybody been to Israel?
Yep.
Yeah, look out now. I mean, you'll have a spell. It's this huge stone. I mean, a huge stone right in the side of a mountain. They went in and just carved out a tomb.
That's exactly right.
And there's a track right here, the whole length of this, a track hewed out in solid rock, Porter. Solid rock about that wide. All right, you could see where it says they rolled the stone away. You could absolutely see where they would have done this. Well, when I'm sitting there looking at that, everybody's coming out of the tomb. Everybody's coming out of the tomb, and you have to wait your turn. I'm done seeing this, right? The place is called God. Would y'all not taking no castor oil? Perk up a little. Man. So I seen that track. I seen where the stone was. Then I seen the imprint of it, Brother Billy. It came our turn to go in there. I'd done been in it one time, but I'd never, the second time is just pure knowledge. You're soaking it all up. I go in there, Doc, and I'm telling you before God, whew, they put iron bars about this big to where you can't get any of the dust from where that supposedly the body lay. Because people would take it and chip it off stone for souvenirs. So all you could do is go in the tomb, look around, come back out. Everybody in there, Miss Chris, we was all crying and shouting and having the time of our lives. Amen. Yeah. When I come back out of that Garden Tomb, remember I told you I'd have knew it had been the Garden Tomb if it had been blindfolded? I'm telling you before God, I tell you, I have never in my life, Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. Yeah. All right, when it hit me, that I mean, I have eternal, everlasting life because of what he done upon the cross. And he cried in John 19:30, he cried, it's finished. Listen, the stone wasn't rolled back to let him out. Amen, Preacher Sisson. Oh, Lord, help us. The stone was not rolled back to let him out. Listen to me for a moment. John 10, verse 17, Jesus said, no man taketh my life. I lay it down. I have power to take it up again. He had a time to be born. He had a time to die. He had a time to resurrect. Woo! Glory. But I'm talking about Jesus conquering death, hell, and the grave for you and I. Here's what tripped my switch, and she was singing that song a moment ago. All right. Our government, they issued $400,000 to Bola University, four major colleges, and gave them all of this money to go to Israel and take a spectrograph. Got y'all's attention, didn't it? A spectrograph. To go in there and analyze the dust in the Garden Tomb and tell them as if a body has ever decayed in here. So here they spend all this money. They go there and get the dust, analyze the dust, and they come back and say, there's no body ever deteriorated. I could have told them that before they went over there. Folks, listen to me. All of these minds, these great minds, trying to determine if a body ever decayed in that tomb. Y'all look like your five family yard sale just is going to y'all leaving it. Listen, y'all to jump up and praise God and thank God the tomb couldn't hold him down. Nobody ever decayed in that tomb. Lord, that blesses me, Brother Billy. I know I'm highly extroverted, and I may run out of the building. I may run the back of the pews. You never know about me. The book of Exodus, please. Find your place in chapter 16, please. I'm going to start reading in Exodus chapter, and I love homecoming, but I want you to get your mind off that table over there. They got some of the best cooks around here you ever eat it in your life. Glory! I love coming down here and just persecuting the saints. Let's read together, and I want to see if I can help you this morning. Exodus, please. What did I say? Chapter 15. I want you to look in verse 22. And by the way, so many of you has asked me about my wife. She is doing absolutely phenomenal. If I could only... Billy, let me tell you what you done. I preached for you Wednesday night, wasn't it?
Yes.
She, for 2 years, she ain't cooked. That's a fact.
You've been eating
something. It's called Kentucky chicken. Okay. She fixed the best meatloaf I ever put in my mouth. Amen. Meatloaf. Tomatoes. Potatoes. Fried squash. I'm telling this. Fried squash. I sit down at the table and I said, a condemned man's last meal. I asked her, I said, God told you something he ain't told me? I thought I'd fix to die. Boy, you talk about good eating, son. That was a good meal. I hadn't eaten one for so long. If I could just get her back to driving a car now. Okay, but she's doing great. I'll bring your CDs to you, those that want a copy. Exodus, please, chapter 15. I want to hurry. Look in verse 22. Exodus chapter 15, verse 22. Ready? Ready?
Ready.
So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness in Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. I used to really be hard on Israel. I really, truly, 430 years they've been in Egyptian bondage. All right, they come up out of Egyptian bondage. They go 3 days, and chapter 15 is nothing but a song. All right, they get out in the desert. I've been there. It's 100 plus every day. Every day it's 100 plus. But look back, if you would, and they went 3 days with no water. Brother Billy, when you was in the hospital, anybody, how many of y'all ever been in the hospital? Anybody ever had chipped ice put on your lips?
Yeah.
Have you ever just savored the moment and just... When I was having this heart surgery, I craved water. I mean, I craved it. Your body is two-thirds water. Have you ever thought about it? They went 3 days and they found no water. All right, dehydration will kill you. Their lips is probably parched. They're probably split. And probably their tongues are swollen to their mouth. All right, they went 3 days. Now picture this in your mind. That's who you read after as to whether this factual's not. Krumacher says that there was probably 2 to 3 million people. Well, that's a pretty good assessment when you go back and read. They've been there 430 years. All right, now they come across the Red Sea. This liberalistic professor was up saying that there's no way in God's green earth that where they came across there, that's only 6 inches of water. This young boy jumped up screaming and hollering, shouting, praising God. He said, what is wrong with you? He said, just thinking about God drowned all of Pharaoh's army in 6 inches of water. If you read your Bible, it says in Pharaoh's chariots. Okay, but let's get off of that. But anyway, they went 3 days and they found no water, right? Now look at them. They're in bad shape. Look at the kids. Mama, I want a drink of water. Dad, I want a drink of water. Whatever, I'm saying they found no water. Now look, if you would, in verse 23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Now, Brother Billy, you're real good. Did I say that? Chris is nodding her head. How did they communicate? If there is 2.5 million or 3 million people, how would they have communicated, Porter? How would they have sent word back that the waters are bitter? How would they, or at the end of the line, Jace, way back there, how many has ever, I've seen 5,000 people at one time. I don't think I've ever seen no 3 million people at one time, except on television. But anyway, what I'm saying is if there was 2 or 3 million people, that's a lot of people. All right, so they found that they get up here and they found the water was what? Say it.
Bitter.
All right, so now then they went 3 days without no water. So it goes from here all the way back. The water's bitter. The water's bitter. The water's bitter. Have you ever been around cattle or anything that's wanted water? When they smell water, they'll go to the water, trust me. All right, the inn back here, it had somehow or another, it communicated back that they found the water, but the water was bitter. Now I got to show you now, hang on, just write this on Friday if you Bible. Notice the next verse. The Bible says, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? He cried unto the Lord. He didn't go on Facebook, your face, his face, my face. I fuss at my wife. I fuss at Mary. I can do that after 56 years. Amen. So wait till you've been married 56 and you can do that.
Yes, sir.
Boy, we stiff neck. But I can fuss at her. I don't know Facebook. I don't none of that. I don't want on no Facebook, his face, your face, my face. I don't want none of that. But she keeps up with all that. All right, but now watch this. What did Moses do? What did Moses do, Beth? What did he do, Chris? No, the people murmured, but he went 3 days. There's 3 days with no water, correct? They go to Moses and they murmured against Moses. There ain't no water out here. All right, now guess what? Moses cried unto the Lord. Notice what Moses did. I want you to watch this. Everybody get it. Now, this is homecoming. I want you to write this down and find it if you Bible. And the Bible says, and he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree.
Amen.
There's a lot of things happen in a tree. Yeah. If you go back to the book of Genesis, you'll find that in the garden, they were to dress it and keep it. But there was a tree back there in the garden that God said, you shall not eat of. There's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, we know that's one tree. But then we know that all the way go from escalate from there all the way to Calvary, there's another tree.
Amen.
Well, we go from there all the way to Revelations, and we know the tree of life is there in the book of Revelation chapter 22.
Yeah.
We know that. All right, but I want you to notice the tree. This is what's going to really pop out at you. The Lord showed him a tree. Now watch. And he says, when he had cast it into the waters. Now the water's bitter. Right?
Yes.
All right, but he showed him a tree, then he cast it into the waters. I got to thinking about this specific tree. You can't argue with me, you can't fuss with me, the tree made the difference.
Yes.
The tree,
yes, sir,
made the difference. Right or wrong?
Yes.
Right, Jason? Jason. Okay. Brother Billy, could not God just made the water
absolutely
pure? He made the water. Did you know that every drop of water that God ever created is right here on this earth?
Right.
You ever thought about it?
Yes.
I ain't going to get into this hydraulic state, how the sea gives up this stuff and goes up in the atmosphere, comes back down. But every drop of water that God ever created is right here on this earth. Two-thirds of your body is water. You've got to have water. All right, God said he showed Moses a tree. The tree made the whole change. Listen, Baptist cannot save you. Methodist cannot save you. Church of God cannot save you. Being baptized cannot save you. Turning over a new leaf cannot save you. But the tree, thank God, what was accomplished on the tree can save you.
Amen.
The tree made the difference, amen.
Yes.
Well, I got thinking. That's dangerous for me to do. Notice back in your Bible, I want you to, everybody in here, to get a hold of this. He says, a certain tree. Did you know Galatians 3:13 says, cursed is he that hangeth on a tree?
Right.
1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, the Bible says that he bore our sins on a tree.
That's right.
Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever got a hold of this? Why did God tell Moses to cast a certain tree into the waters? Well, let me show you. Let's go back, and it's going to really pop out like measles. Now watch. Go back and look, if you would, back in verse 24. I got to thinking about the change brought about is the tree. But I got to thinking this, how would they have communicated? They ain't a doubt in my mind, the water's bitter, the water's bitter, the water's bitter. Can you see their faces?
Right.
But can you see their faces when they found out the water was now sweet? How did they communicate, Miss Hope? How did they find out from there all the way? Hey, the water's sweet, amen.
Yeah.
Y'all believe they sort of had a running spell on the water?
Yeah.
I venture to say they had a running spell on it.
There
ain't nothing in the world can solve your thirst like water. A lot of stuff can. I remember when I had my first heart surgery, they put that chipped ice on my lips. I thought I died and went to heaven. Just a chip of ice on my lips.
Yeah.
I have been beside people dying and them begging for chipped ice on their lips. And I think about these poor people. Blistering hot sun, right?
Yep.
No water for 3 days. Now when they get water, the water's bitter. Now then they find out that the water, can you imagine this? Moses cried unto God and God showed him a tree. And hey, did you know that he cut the tree down? Did you know he throwed the tree in the water and the water's made sweet?
Yes.
That's bound to ripple effect, got up to the top, back, up in the back, in the back, in the back, in the back. Amen, sister. Happy day, boy, when I heard that Jesus saved sinners.
Yes.
Happy day in my soul when I got saved. Amen. S-A-V-E-D.
Yes.
So now watch this. A certain tree, a certain tree. Are y'all listening? People are so messed up, Brother Billy. They're so confused as a termite in a yo-yo. They don't know who to believe, what church to go to, what preacher to listen to. Say amen. The truth has set you free. Amen. And Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. You're not going to go to heaven except the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Well, if I believe all this, and I do. Revelation 13 says he was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now let me show you. Let's go back and watch it. A certain tree. I got to thinking, my soul. But notice it was cast. It had to have been cut down because he showed him a tree and when he cast it into the waters. Brother Billy, does that ever flip your switch? Okay. It says he cast it into the waters. Do this or something.
Yes, amen.
We're going to go in about 3 o'clock instead of 2. A certain tree, yes. But then the tree had to be cut down for him to cast it into the waters.
That's right.
Yeah. Do this or something.
Yes.
Literally, it was cast into the waters. I don't know how many were standing around there watching this, but somehow or another it got from the water, that the water was made sweet now, and it was rippling back, that the water was made sweet.
Yeah.
Bless his wonderful name. Have you ever thought about we have people that need to see Christ in us?
Yes.
They don't need to see, people's got religion out their gills.
That's right.
But I'm telling you, organized religion will send you to hell.
Amen.
What you need is a personal, intimate relationship with the Son of God.
That's right.
Now, not only this certain tree, but the tree was cut down. I don't know how y'all feel. When I see Jesus nailed to the cross, and they tell me, Krumacher, the historian, Josephus says that the Romans had crucified over 1,000 individuals per year. See, the Jews stoned people. The Romans had instituted crucifixion, and they were barbaric at it. But have you ever thought about this? Jesus was nailed to the cross. Read Colossians 2. He wasn't no rope bound him, no cross. He was nailed to the cross. All right, have you ever thought about the crown of thorns? Have you ever thought him being beaten unmercifully? Have you ever thought about him crying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Have you ever thought about him dying just for you? Have you ever thought about him suffering just for you? Bless his wonderful name. Lord, that makes me just want to have a spell. Now I've got to show you not only the cure, that's in the next verse, but I want to show you the certain tree. But then I want to show you this. Now, you need to get this. You need to get it. The tree was cut down. Brother Sisson, you can know about Christ. You can know. You can use all the language. Amen, Brother Sisson. You can sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. You can have all of that. You can sit and sing hear the Murrays. Woo, glory. You can hear all that and die and go to hell. You must have Christ living within. Let me show you this. Now watch. It's going to really pump. I heard about this little boy. Every now and then I just have one of these. This morning, before I tell you this, I got up. Boy, it was nice outside. And I fixed me a good cup of real coffee. Not that old hypocrite junk. Not no instant coffee. I don't like that stuff. Say amen. That's hypocrite coffee. Instant. I got me a real cup of coffee. I went out there on my porch swing. You see, y'all got a deck. I've got a porch. I'm sitting on the back porch with a cup of coffee. And I'm thinking, boy, this might be a real day for Jesus to come. I don't know whether y'all think like it or not. Then my wife came out there and sat on the swing with me. We was just a swinging. But have you ever just say, I love that song. God is so good to me. God is so good to me. Think about this for a moment. Have you ever just put it in your mind that Jesus, he was cut down for me?
Yes.
And then we're singing, he's so good to me. Yes. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. The Bible says that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance.
Yes.
We need to start taking inventory, singing, oh, how good God's been to me. Now, I got a herd to go. Now, won't you watch? Not only a certain tree, then watch that night it was cut down. It's always been the blood. Amen, sister.
Right.
Hebrews 9, verse 22. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin.
Amen.
It's always been the blood all the way. How about Genesis chapter 3? When God made coats of skins, have y'all ever thought about it? And clothed them?
Yes.
Have you ever thought about it? God made coats of skins, yes, and clothed them.
That's right.
We're going to have service this afternoon.
Amen.
Are we going to have service this afternoon? This has been burning on my heart. I want to preach on God's changing room. Can I do that?
Yeah.
No, I'm just picking. The other day I went to Walmart, just tried to get right. She wants to go shopping. Why do they always get a shopping cart? Chris, do you do that? She always got to have a cart to put her purse in.
Amen.
Here I am looking for my wife after about 45 minutes, and I think, where is my wife at? So thank God for a phone. Amen.
Amen.
So I called her. She says, I am in the changing room. I just stopped for a minute. I thought, changing room. Y'all don't do that, do you? I do this. You women ever got try clothes on? How many of y'all, you women, and you go, well, I hope you go to the changing room. But she was in the changing room. I'll preach that maybe, Lord, some other time. But have you ever thought about it? They made fig leaf aprons and tried to cover themselves. And now then we find that God made coats of skins and clothed them. Y'all slow down here. Y'all don't get nothing. They, all right, their fig leaf aprons did not. Say amen. The fig leaf aprons wasn't sufficient for God. So God made coats of skins and clothed them. Woo! My wife went to Walmart, and them little old leg, L-E-G-G-S apostrophe, she had to have her some of them pantyhose. And it said, listen to this. It says, one size fit all. I pulled him up. I thought, there's no way under God's green earth. Say amen. I know I stay in trouble with Chris, but I'm not telling you. There's a day in my life, thank God, I went into God's changing room, and God changed me, amen, and put a garment of imputed righteousness around me. Thank God I'm going to heaven, amen, and got a garment of imputed righteousness. You say, Brother Sisson, you don't look like much. Well, I'm not. He's still working on me. Now, leave me alone just for a minute. Leave me alone. Let's go back to the book of Exodus. Come on, everybody, Exodus, please. Not only the certain tree, but then the tree was cut down. Calvary was not an accident. Hey, let me ask y'all a question. Ready? Could I ask you a question? Brother Murray, do you believe the tree was always there? Why not? All right, he showed him a certain tree.
Yeah.
All right, nothing takes God by surprise.
Yeah. No.
All right, what you're going through right now, it could be that God is working behind the scene
right
to show you that he was always there.
That's right.
Well, there's a song that said he was. That's another message. Let's go back. I want you to watch. Drop down and let me show you this. Now, look in verse 25. He cried unto the Lord, and the Lord, L-O-R-D, showed him a tree in which when he had cast it into the waters, the waters were made sweet. So he can take the sour and make it sweet. Amen. Glory. Amen. Now, watch this. Then the Bible says there he made for them a statute. One, an ordinance, two, and there he proved them. Well, I got to thinking. The cure was him taking the tree and casting it into the water. Jesus died and paid whosoever will send that, amen. So he's the cure for any problem you've got. Can you just see them? Can y'all see them going away when they drink of the water? Ain't y'all got no sense of imagination at all? Can you just see them going away after they got a drink of water? Amen. My wife and I was in a meeting over on the other side of wherever. I'd never been there. What is that water that we get at WTHL? What is that water called? A specific kind of water. What was it? What is it, Brother Porter? Climax. In Climax, Kentucky, they've got this well, or they bottle water. The water has never went dry. All these years, the water has never went dry. And it's a spring water, just unbelievable. I mean, the water, y'all drink all this old city water and you think, man, that's good water. Y'all ain't never drank spring water. But what I'm saying is that those wells in Climax, Kentucky has never went dry. Now they bottle the water and sell it everywhere. Sell it. I never dreamed we'd live in a time we'd sell water. But we sell water. But okay, now watch this. Watch what I want you. He showed them, and the Bible says he took the tree and he cast it into the waters, and the waters was made, say it, sweet. So the cure was what? The tree. All right. Is Jesus not the cure?
Yes.
For any problem that you have in your life. I had a phone call this morning. Brother Ronnie said, Brother Sisson said, my mother-in-law is right at the point of death. Said she probably won't make it through the day. She's a godly woman. And I thought to myself, she's probably 88, upper 80s. But I thought at the moment that she leaves this world, the very millisecond, there's going to be an angelic being right in the presence to carry right her into the presence of God. So why should I be sad? I know that parts of us, we'll miss them. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For me to live, Paul said, is Christ, and for me to die is gain, which is far better.
Yeah.
Ooh, I love thinking about it. I love thinking. Don't feel sorry for me. You ever hear me kicking out? Just have a spell. But Jesus is the cure. The dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life, the dumbest thing. Dumbest. Dumb. We do dumb things. Here we got liquor in our county, right?
Right.
Now then, guess what they're wanting to do? They bought land, and they're wanting to build a rehab to sober the drunks up.
Yeah.
They want to know, was I going to help them? I said, no. You want to hear that in Spanish? No. How about Hebrew? No. I said, no. I'm not helping you. I said, listen, that's dumb. What I mean, now we bought land, we're going to build this place to sober up the drunks. All we had to do is kick liquor out. Not invited in, amen.
Right.
My point is, he's the cure for the drunk.
Right.
He's the cure for the opioid.
Absolutely.
I told somebody, Brother Scott, this is dumb. Think about it just for a minute. We do dumb things. Here we are. You still got your wisdom teeth? No? You pulled them? You need to hear this. A 15-year-old girl, they pulled her wisdom teeth. And she immediately got hooked on hydrocodone. I said, there's something wrong with this. Pull your wisdom teeth and get hooked on opioids. Come on, dodge your head. Look at our whole culture. We got a whole culture filled with opioid addicts. But listen, what's the cure? Jesus is the cure. You get him inside, he's the cure, amen. So now, here they find he cast the tree into the waters are made sweet. So we find the cure is him putting the branch in the water.
Right.
Yeah. Jesus is the cure.
Yes.
This could be homecoming 2019. Y'all could have absolutely a phenomenal experience. You know what? I enjoy being saved.
Amen.
They don't drudge me to come to the house of God.
No.
I love it. I looked over here at Brother Murray, and he was sitting over here like this a few minutes ago. And I thought, look at that. That's royalty sitting over there. He popped his thumb up, and I popped my thumb up at him. Look at me. Have you ever thought about it? 1 John 3, beloved, now we the sons of God, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he appears we shall be like him. Why should I be depressed? Why should I feel inferior to anyone? Christ, the King of Kings, lives inside of me. Got saved when I was 19 years old. I know some of y'all right now are thinking, how old is that man? I'll be 75 my birthday. Whoopee! I'm glad to be soon be 75. What do you think, Brother Billy? And every now and then I run, but I have to walk back. Can you just see me? Can you see Jason carry me down the aisle? But what I'm saying is what I want you to get a hold of. Jesus is the cure. Say amen.
Amen.
He's the cure. And you need the cure.
Right.
Mama used to, you boys don't have a clue what I'm talking about. They used to get, did you ever take turpentine? Castor oil? See, there you boys ain't lived. Mama, how about you guys? In years gone by, castor oil. Ma'am, you know what I'm talking about? Do you really? There's hope for you. Mom used to, if you sneeze, she'd go get the castor oil. But my point in telling you that is, the best medicine in the world is not going to help you till you take it. I can sit here and tell you Jesus is a cure. And now you're sitting there thinking, that can't be, no. But I'm telling you, he's the cure. He's the cure for the drunks, the opioid addicts. He's the cure he's the cure for the deadness in our churches.
Amen.
You can't believe how many phone calls I get a week. And preachers will say, Brother Sister, we can't get them to do nothing. They won't teach a class. They won't even come to church anymore. How do you motivate them? Fall in love with Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
That's the best cure I can take.
That's it.
When my wife's going through that 2 years thing, she read the Bible through in 6 solid weeks, back to back, cover to cover, over and over and over again. Here's a statement she made, I'll never forget it. She said, you cannot put that much of God inside of you and it not change you.
Amen.
Hey, say, do this.
Yes.
Then how come it is, what time is it? Still 7 o'clock. How come it is that moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas in years gone by, I'm talking about 1900s, they didn't have all the educations we did. They didn't have libraries on every corner. They didn't have computers.
Amen.
Most of them only had 4th and 5th grade educations. But they had a walk with God that I covet. Let me say that again. They had a walk with God that I covet. They didn't have all the stuff that we have. Amen, Preacher Sisson. They realized that Jesus was the cure. We're so knowledgeable, we're stupid. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
See, it's just like this morning. I can sit here and tell you that he's the cure.
Right.
But instead of you thinking, he is the cure for my problem?
Yeah.
Anybody here outside me ever get tired of just being dead?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
You can come in. How many of you be honest and say, Brother Sister, I've came to church and went back home the same way I came?
Yeah.
Well, don't blame... It's you that's got your plate turned upside down.
That's right.
Okay. He showed him a certain tree. Then he cast the tree into the waters. But then the cure was, well, I'm glad he's the cure.
Amen.
Brother, if people had this personal relationship with the Lord, oh, my soul, you wouldn't have to be pumped and primed. It'd cure all this apathy, indifference, complacency. Y'all raised your hand a moment ago. How many of y'all remember the hour of the day you got saved? The preaching wasn't too hard. Services wasn't too long. You just had a love affair with Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
Amen, preacher. Well, Revelation says, chapter 2 says they've left their first love. Well, Matthew 24 says the love of many has waxed cold. So what's the answer for all the deadness and coldness and indifference? Jesus. Have a love affair with Jesus. You know what? Let's do this morning. We're going to go have a meal together. That's good. But have you ever thought about going to heaven? Have you ever just contemplated going to heaven?
Yes.
That's a reality in my life. That's not no la-la land. Or that, to me, it's an absolute certainty. I'm going to glory. You know what motivates me, pushes me, and drives me? I want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and thou faithful servant." 19 years old, some 56 years ago, I met Jesus. He's the cure. Whoopee. Well, I'm so glad, dear God, I'm glad Jesus got me before this crowd got me.
Amen.
Warp, y'all think of my mind. I'm working on me a crazy check. Some of y'all are too, by the way. You're a lot closer to it than I am. But what I'm saying is people think that you're odd or you're something wrong with you if you love the Lord Jesus. A man came down to the house yesterday. And I love trying to help people. Him and his wife stood over an hour and a half. We stood out in the hot sun, and I was telling them about, they listened to me on the radio. We was just talking about things, the spiritual things. And I was talking about how that I've seen the bottom fall out of things in 56 years. The bottom just fell out of it. People just come in, Brother Billy anymore, and he's an excellent preacher, Brother Billy. And he's a great preacher. He loves you people. But you know what your problem is? You hear, but you don't apply what you hear. That's just a fact. That's what people do. Well, if we hear and don't apply what we hear, how is it going to cure our bodies? How's it going to cure our emotions? Let's do this morning. Let's just stand to our feet. Brother Porter, would you come to the piano, please? Heads bowed, eyes closed. This could be the best homecoming of your life. I wonder how many of you tonight this morning would say, "Brother Sisson! Sure, I realize he was cast down. Sure, I realize that certain tree. Sure, I realize he's the cure." Then what you ought to do to come and get on your knees and say, "God, thank you from the depths of my heart." You know what? What page, Brother Porter?
Page 85.
Page 85 in your hymn book. I'm going to ask you, how many of you would come this morning and just say, "Lord, God, you've been so good to me. I just want to thank you." Please. Boy, if you need that cure, Jesus is the cure. Do you know him? I mean, do you know him? Do you know Christ? Paul said, "Oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Father, I love you. Lord, thank you. Take the word of God, Lord, embed it in our hearts and our minds. And God, may they see that certain tree was the Lord Jesus. May they see that he was cast down. Oh, my soul, when I think about him being made sin. Oh, please, God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Lamb of God. Please speak to people's hearts this morning. I pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Let's sing, Brother Porter. What page?